Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled The King Who Sent a Choir on the Battlefield. We are studying from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we are studying about the great crisis that came into the life of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verses 1 and 2, these words: After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, the son of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, A vast army is coming against you from Edom. From the other side of the sea, it is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolves to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And all Judah came together, we read in the text. Verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. This is wonderful, and for many reasons. But I want to focus on the fact that this crisis, that is, this reversal of circumstances, that happened at this time during the reign of Jehoshaphat was a great spiritual test. And I love the balance that we read in verse 3, which shows us the normal reaction to hearing such news. And then we read about the resolve. And I love the balance that the writer gives between the king being alarmed at such tidings and then resolved to not keep those tidings to himself, but to inquire of the Lord. This was his resolve. And so I love that balance. And we get to see the spiritual homeostasis. We get to see the balance. We get to see that the king himself was edified or had been built up in the Word of God. He hadn't been preached at by the prophets. Indeed, the prophets who were sent of God use what we call, they use a particular formula, which stated, thus saith the Lord. And this was their formula, and so this formula always prefaced their words, their very great and powerful words. But here we get an opportunity to see a king who knew the Word of God and knew its power. And we get to see into the life of a king who had not watered down the Word of God by his words and neither his actions. or what he did. His actions, and this particular action, tells us much about the man. He inquired of the Lord. And so that is a very significant and compelling insight as to who he is and the kind of man he is. And so we do well to note this. The people come together, and in verse 5, we read that the king stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. And I love the fact that we have the verb stood up in verse 5. Again, we see the spiritual stature of the man, the spiritual stature of the stature of the man of God. He stood up, and his words were great. His words were uplifting and upbuilding. This prayer is a result of deep and rich edification, that is, being one who has spent time with God in his word. This prayer is evidence of that. This prayer is forensic in many ways. And so we get to see the heart of the man. In verse 6, the king's prayer talks about who God is. And he states that God is like what he does. O Lord, God of our fathers, verses 5 and 6, are you not the God who is in heaven, who ran us? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, Yad, and no one can withstand. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and to give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And so verse 7 talks about what God did in the past. In verse 6, we have who God is. God is like what he does. In verse 7, we have what God did in the past. In verses 8 and 9, what God will do in the future. Verse 8, they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name. Exodus 3:14, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress. And you will hear us and say, I love the continuity, which many people do not understand. And so when faced, unfortunately, do not understand this. But those who have walked with God a long time understand this formula, understand what this prayer is stating. The people of God during their years in the wilderness for 39 years and 10 months that they were there. And if you notice, there were these episodes of where they cried out to God because they really believed that they lacked in some way some essential life provision. And so they would cry out to God out of the midst of these needs, as it were, that were very compelling to them. and were essential to them. And it made them not these needs as they thought of them, made them not keep their eyes on God. And so they put eyes on self. And they cried out to God from self-centeredness. And so it is amazing that in spite of their proclamation and what they said about the character of God, that God consistently provided for his people. This is the nature, this is the character of God. This is who he is. This is what he is like. God met their needs. God saw to it that they were not lacking in any manner. But again, we get to see the people of God and what they felt they lacked. And the king, in this particular prayer, is stating that we know who God is because we understand who he is and what he did in the past. I want to read to you from Exodus 17. Verse 1. The whole Israelite assembly set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink, so they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt?" And by the way, the word Egypt here means double distresses. Double distresses. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? And Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are ready to stone me." And as we read down to verses 4 to 7, God made provision for his people. I want to bring your attention to verse 3, where we read the people grumbled. It is a Hebrew word, love. And this word means to complain again. And so, verse 2, we read that they quarreled. It is the Hebrew word rib, and it is used in a legal sense at times. Here, quarrel means to contend. They actively contended with Moses. This will be their fundamental attitude. They will be unable to create in their hearts a continuity between a need that God has provided for in the past and connected to the fact that if we face a particular crisis in the future, God will be there for us. They could not make that connection. Indeed, the flesh cannot make that connection because the flesh is about, once again, eyes on self. Eyes on self. The king that is King Jehoshaphat, knows that God provided for he and his people in the past, and that God can meet this current crisis. This vast coalition force, this vast army that has come up against his people. Now, as we move down through the text, we read that a prophet has come up to speak to the people of God, Jehaziel, in verse 14. And these are his words, beginning at verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. And the writer repeatedly uses this term stood in the text. And he uses it in verse 5. He uses it also in verse 13. And here again, he uses the term in verse 14, stood. He said, verse 15, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you." Very powerful. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Remember when David faced Goliath? David had within his heart that understanding of spiritual continuity. God helped me to defeat the lion and the bear, and God will help me now. You see the simplicity of real faith. God will be there with me in this situation. And I see the elders who I've met in the Lord have said the same thing. And you see the same richness, the same strength and courage that they display in the Lord. There's a confidence about what they say because they have given themselves to the divine point. They have not resisted the word of God. They have, in fact, absorbed the word of God. And so because of this, there's this constant fellowship. To join things, they have joint things in common with God. That is the meaning of fellowship, to have joint things in common with another. These individuals, these spiritually mature individuals, have joint things in common with God. And what a wonderful legacy that King Jehoshaphat and the spiritually mature ones are giving to these young ones. What a powerful legacy that they are getting from the elders. The fact that things seem to be overwhelming. We seem to be overwhelmed, but we have inquired of the Lord. And the Lord has sent a prophetic message that says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged because of this vast army. The Lord is on your side. And let me say this morning the same thing to you. The Lord is on your side. And you face your particular vast army, no matter what it is. So now the vast army that is God's people are being made ready to go into battle. Not that God's going to stop the army from trying to defeat his people, that God is preparing the hearts of his people for spiritual warfare. They are in preparation for spiritual warfare. See, they are getting ready to go on to the battlefield. God has never said that they would not take the field. They would take to the battlefield. They would go in to battle. Verse 16, tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the path of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle again. This reaffirms that the battle is the Lord's. Take up your position. Stand firm again. I love these verbs. And see the deliverance that is the Yeshua. See the Yeshua the Lord gives you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, never. I will not never leave you nor forsake you. God does not abandon. God does not abandon. And for those who know what it's like to be abandoned, let me say to you this morning that God does not abandon. God does not abandon. What a blessing to know. Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. See, I love this, that praise and worship was done before the Lord. And the word worship means to ascribe. It is an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to ascribe worth to. And so this is the essence of worship. This is worship before the battle, before entering on the battlefield. Their hearts are prepared through worship. And then praise goes up. We are told in the scripture that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. The Lord inhabits the praise of his people. Praise is very powerful. Praise is very wonderful because we become other-centered. We become centered on the worthy person of the living God. We are invited through praise and worship to turn outward, not to focus on the self. We're invited not to focus on the problematic details of life and what is going on with us. We find that when there is appropriate worship and praise, what is going on within us, all those problematic things, as it were, seem to melt or evaporate or disappear. So we are being shown a wonderful approach to life. He goes on, or the text goes on. Verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem, Aman in the Lord your God. And you will Aman in his prophets. And you will be successful. The word Aman is from the Hebrew text. And it is in the hymn field form, which means because to Amon Yahweh, that is, to take as established, to realize or to have as assurance who God is. Isn't that wonderful? The depth and richness of that one word, Amon, from which we get our word, amen. Because to Amon Yahweh, to take as established. In other words, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on one's cognitive ability and all the formulas and all the solution that we can muster. Lean not on those, but lean upon the everlasting heart. Notice what happens. And so, verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir, and here God has sent confusion among the coalition forces against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. So the king, in verse 21, sent his choir onto the battlefield before the army. And wonderful praise was made before God. Can you imagine what this great coalition army was thinking? I cannot. But to see a choir on the battlefield, and the Lord had already set ambush among the enemy. This was all in God's hand. This was all under God's control. This was all a marvelous situation in which God's people could see the salvation of the Lord. Beloved, the scriptures are wonderful. Do not allow individuals to come along to have you to water down or to teach a watered down view of the Word of God, either through poor teaching of the text or through their actions. The Word of God stands forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. That is, standing waves function upon void. Mass energy. Jesus said, mass energy will pass away, but my words, which are prior to mass energy, will not pass away. God bless you this morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I'll speak with you next time on the Matter Cause. Have a wonderful day.